Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, and to give us revelation of this and the truth of your word, Father, to help us to grow thereby to where we can do work for you in uprightness, in steadfastness, according to your will and your way. Now, Father, be with us through this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Give you a second to get there. You know, we've seen and read His word now through the first 6 chapters. We've heard a lot of things. 7 is not going to change much either, because we still have a lot to learn, and He is still teaching, and teaching strongly. All right. Chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you shall judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you might, it shall be measured to you. Again, 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that it is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? 4. For how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Now, let's take a look really at what the Lord is talking about here. He's telling you and I to judge not. And what that is referring to here, it refers to an unfavorable and a condemnatory judgment. And this does not mean that a Christian should never exercise judgment of any kind under any circumstance. Because you and I know that there are things that we see others do that it's not right in the sight of God. Now, the only thing is, we know that what they're doing is not right, and we pray for them because we are not their judge. That belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling us now that the point being made here is that we are not to judge the inner motives of another. We are not to render verdict based upon prejudice information, nor are we to use ourselves as a standard of judgment. Now, he goes on to tell us, with judgment you might, that word might, M-E-T-E, means measure, you shall be judged. And he goes on there telling us that you be not judged refers to the ultimate judgment of God rather than our own judgment. The term mote and beam that are used, that we read, we know that they are used metaphorically. But one being a small fault and the other a great fault. Now we know that a mote is small. It could be small as a grain of sawdust. But that beam that he's talking about being in our own eye, being great, would be like a rafter used in a building. In other words, it's pretty great. And he's giving us then, letting us know the idea of this text is that one cannot remove the speck from his brother's eye until he has removed the rafter from his own eyes. In other words, we can't help others until we have gotten ourselves straight. That's what it all comes down to. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Now here in 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see, just as we were talking there about that, we are to take care of ourselves first, or we're not going to be able to help our brother or our sister, whatever the case may be. Now, 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. You know, he's using the term here that these statements that can be made for this play actor who pretends to be a physician when he himself is sick. Now, he's saying here the dogs and swine. We know that reference to those who are deliberately rejecting and has rejected the message of the truth of God's word. And these animals that he is talking about there, in this day and time, when Jesus was there on earth, those two animals were really the most repulsive animals of that day and time. Now today we don't look at it that way. In fact, a lot of families have dogs and things, and they're like one of the family. But in that day and time, they wasn't. Now, as we go on here, in 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. 9. Or what man is there of you, who if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? 10. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And you see, he's using these three words here, ask, seek, and knock, are in the present tense, really, of the original language. And they are suggesting both perseverance and frequent fervent and continually prayer is to be made on behalf of those for whom we are concerned. Well, we are to be concerned about all of our brothers and sisters. God promises to answer all genuine prayer. Everything we need for spiritual success has been promised to us. God leaves us no excuse for failure. Think about that. No excuse for failure. Now, 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, we know God takes good care of us. He doesn't give us bad things. He gives us nothing but good things. Verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, we don't just do bad things to others. What we do for others is what we would want them to do for us. That's what he's telling us here. But we don't want somebody coming along and doing anything bad to us, do we? No. So we're not to do it to them. 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You see, in Jesus' day and time, teaching like this was a common method of teaching in both Jewish and Greco-Roman thought. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And narrow. That word, straight gate, means narrow. It means that one must come through the narrow gate in order to reach the path that leads to eternal life. Now, then he also was telling us that the way that is broad and that way leadeth to destruction, as he is letting you and I know, eternal separation from God. The gate that leads to life is so narrow that few there be to find it. Just as we were reading there, that's what I want you to know and understand. And Christ himself is both the gate and the way that will lead us to God. And enables men to find that gate. Think about that. He is the way. We can't go around him, over him, or under him. We must go through him. There is no other way. Now, 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. Now, as I have told you, there is a lot of those things going on today. They come in, as he called it, in sheep clothing. But actually, in reality, they are as bad as wolves. And that description that he's given us there is a perfect description of those preachers who have denied or distorted the truth and is teaching things that are contrary to the word of Almighty God and the gospel. Yet they are standing in our churches looking like lambs, but they're not. They're wolves that is leading a lot of mankind astray. 16. He also tells us, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No, you see, when they are not teaching the truth of God's word, we should know and understand that they are false prophets, false preachers. And we're not to stay and sit under them. Now, 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And you see, one cannot bring the fruit of the other. That good tree not going to bring you corrupt fruit, and the corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. That's why we are to leave them alone and find a place that is teaching you the word of God as it is written. Now, and not changing it to make it say things that it's not saying. Now, 18. The good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. In other words, it's cut down and thrown into the fire and burnt up. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. He's letting you and I know that if we are in and have knowledge of the word of God, we should recognize them so that we're not sitting under them, being influenced by the evil they are doing. And a lot of them are doing those things, not realizing really what they are doing, because they have been under the same teaching their lifetime. And then in a lot of the seminaries, they have been taught these things, and they really don't know that what they're teaching is wrong. And we are seeing some of those that we have known before today that are beginning to change and get back in to the truth of God's word. Not as many as we'd like to see, but I have seen a few. Now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. You see, not everyone professing Christ is really genuinely saved. Even the outward verbal knowledge, acknowledgement of his lordship is in itself not enough to save the unbeliever. Apart from true repentance and faith. You know, when it comes down to it, the genuine saved person is one that doeth the will of the Father. Now, you know the Greek presents tense suggestions that he is continually living in obedience to the will of God as the normal course of his life. We know that Jesus walked without sin in his life. 30 years he lived on this earth, just like you and I. Worked as a carpenter and all. And yet was without sin. That is letting you and I know that it can be done. Because you see, at that time, those 30 years that he was here on this earth, he was walking just like you and I, without the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. When he was baptized by John the Baptist at the age of 30, is when he was filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And there was a reason for that. That was to let us know that when we do become that born-again child of the living God, that we can live our life without committing sin, which is what we are to do. Now, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. In other words, when we are walking in accordance with the Word of God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, doing everything that we know to do, we are on a foundation of rock. And that rock is Jesus. And it's not going to sink in no sand or nothing else. 25. He goes on here talking about this house on the rock. He says, and the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It doesn't matter what else will come against you and I from Satan beating against us. If we are on that rock, it can't cause you to fall. You'll not fall. 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, he's letting you and I know that when we don't keep his word and his commandments, that we build our house on sand. And then he tells us what will happen here in 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It fell. You see, because it didn't have that rock foundation, because they were not living according to the commandments and the statutes of Almighty God and His Word. They didn't have their house built upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. No, because you see, he did have the authority, which is exactly what we have today when we are teaching the Word of God. When I am teaching you from this holy Word, and I'm teaching you as it is written, we're on that rock. That teaching is with authority, the authority of Almighty God, because it is His Word, not mine, His. My Word would carry no authority, but His does. We have now come to the end of chapter 7, and we're going to stop there for this evening, because, you see, we'll be going into 8. And once again, it's not a real short chapter. In fact, it's 34 verses. And there's quite a few of them. It's got a lot of words in them. There's a lot of things for you and I to see, to learn, to accept, and to hide in our hearts and minds so that we can do the work that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. Think about that. So we'll stop here, and God willing, we'll pick up in 8, pardon me, there in 8 with our next, our next time. I've been out getting around today in this heat and all. Yeah. It got me sneezing a little bit. All right. So, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your words, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit. And Father, we are thankful for these times that we can come together to study your word and to learn how to walk, Father, so that we can make heaven our home. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray that they can somehow that fighting be brought to an end and close. These rockets stop going into Israel every day, causing destruction and death. And Father, that also they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, we continue to pray for our land, Father, a land that without any excuse whatsoever took the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in. Not even wanting his name in our prayers. And Father, we have so many in our government that are evil and has brought so much evil upon the people of our own land, especially upon our children. Father, I'm praying that all of your children will begin to pray for this country, for the salvation of it, and for those that are able to be taken out of office and be replaced by those that walk in righteousness, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, love the church, and love your people in this country, and work with us to put our government back on the foundation that this evil ones have taken it from, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for the saints wherever they are in the world, I ask the Holy Spirit to keep them in health, keep them safe, and to take care of their needs. And for Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, for Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, for Millie and Bobby Johnson, for myself, my wife, and my family. Father, all of our families, everyone in our families, we pray for each and every one of them. We all have family members that are not walking right. May the Holy Spirit work with them, talk with them, help to change their mind. Let them see that they are standing in need of someone far greater than themselves to lead them out of darkness and into light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so they can be forgiven, putting their faith and trust in him, and make heaven their home. Now, Father, as we separate this evening, watch over us through the night. Keep us all in health. Keep us all safe. Bring us back together again come morning and back into your word. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day or evening and a good restful night. And I pray that we can be together in the morning at 10 a.m. Good evening, all.